This morning, our scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Familiar passage, isn't it? We've heard that before, I'm sure. I read about a father who was traveling with his family on vacation, and they stopped to get some food and fill their gas tank, and that's when their trip got very interesting. He explained this way. He said, another person was sleeping in the back of our van, and we were going to drive, and then he would start to drive, I would go to sleep in the back of the van. But he went in to get change and finish up the gas transaction. The people in the van thought he was already in the back of the van, so they took off, closed the doors, and left. He tried to call on his cell phone, or tried to call his own cell phone in the van. It was, for some reason, not answered. Tried the other people in the van. Nobody answered the calls. He eventually found a computer he could use, and he got on Facebook, and somehow the people in the van were checking Facebook. I don't know, but by the time they did, they were about 100 miles down the road. Well, the story turned out to have a happy ending. They turned around, picked up the dad, and they resumed their vacation. And the point of all that is this morning we want you to know dads do matter. We're not going to forget about fathers on Father's Day. It's very important for us to think about our fathers. Our culture is kind of interesting, I think. We require training and experience before you can get a driver's license. If you're a school teacher, you know there's credentialing and all the things involved. Almost every profession has some standard of required education. But when it comes to being a father or a mother, a parent, there's no required training, is there? It's a very difficult and challenging kind of task to be a parent of a child. It's a very challenging task to be a father. And so I think we could do well to take a few moments and we'll try to answer the question, how can we be effective as fathers in particular? Now, I know a lot of us are past that age of raising children, but we are still fathers if we have children. And if we have grandchildren, we still have an influence in their lives. So it's very important for us, I think, to understand how we might be more effective in that role. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, no surprise, he begins the prayer with, "Our Father." Our Father. Jesus not only referred to God as Father, but he teaches his disciples and teaches us to refer to God as our Father. And that's purposeful. That's intentional. The problem is, for many people, it's difficult to think of God as a father because of the experiences we've had with our earthly fathers. It's difficult for us to think of God as our heavenly father because of some of the experiences, perhaps, of rejection or anger or resentment or even abuse on the part of a father. There's fallout from that. And the fallout from that was when there is that kind of experience that's negative, people are at best ambivalent about God and maybe at worst just utterly hostile toward or at least indifferent to God. And it's hard to think of God as a father, a heavenly father, because of those experiences. If you're among those who have a hard time thinking about God as father due to some negative experience on the part of an earthly father, I want to say this, and I want to repeat it. Our earthly fathers were not perfect people. They were not perfect people. But when we look at Jesus' prayer, we see a model coming from our Heavenly Father who is perfect, who loves us perfectly, who is unchangeable and constantly faithful and entirely loving and good and pure. And that's the model earthly fathers can learn from. It's a model that in this prayer of what a child can expect a parent to be like. It's a model in this prayer of or an example, I should say, of not judging fatherhood by our earthly fathers, but by our Heavenly Father. So let's look at this prayer. When we do, we see that there are several things that we can glean from it to be effective as fathers. But first I want to ask you this question. How many of you have seen the TV show Andy of Mayberry? Anyone not seen it? Maybe that'd be even easier. Yeah, it goes way back. We don't have too many real young people here, but maybe our young people have never heard of it. I don't know. But if you know, if you have, you know Andy is the sheriff of Mayberry, Andy Taylor. Barney Fife is the deputy, the real funny, clumsy deputy. Well, in one episode, Andy is out of town, so Barney's in charge. And he's the deputy, so he thinks he needs some help. So he goes to the local auto mechanic, whose name is Gomer, and he deputizes Gomer, so that there are two of them. Well, they're walking down the street, they're realizing the Mayberry Bank is being robbed. And they panic, and they hide behind a car. And finally, Gomer says to Barney, here's what he says literally, Shazam, we need to call the police. Remember it? And Barney's exasperated with Gomer. He says, Gomer, we are the police. Well, okay, that's a roundabout way of realizing we are the fathers, those of us who are fathers. Those of us who have the privilege of influencing children or grandchildren, we can't turn to someone else and say, do this for us. We're called to do it. We are called to be those who have that influence in the lives of those young people, in the lives of those not so young people who are still part of our, who are our children and whose lives we still influence. So the best way to do that, one of the best ways, is to look at the model of prayer Jesus gives us and see how our Heavenly Father deals with us. And that will help us, I believe, if we imitate that, to be more effective fathers. First thing we see in this prayer, Jesus starts with the familiar words, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And that phrase, hallowed be your name, is a way that we recognize that God is holy and divine and above all things and perfect in every sense of the word, that God is to be revered over all things. Hallowed be your name. We hallow God's name and honor God as being over all things. Now, I'm not suggesting that you teach your kids to consider you to be divine, as much as you may want to do that. I don't know. What the phrase is saying to us, though, when we honor God, it reflects the basic priority that a father needs to be an effective father. The priority of God above all else. Placing God above every other being, above every other power, above every other thing that we would seek in life. That God be our top priority. That's how we hallow God. And that's how we can be effective in the roles that we're called to, particularly today as we're thinking of fathers. A top priority for a father should be to hallow God's name and make God the number one priority. There's a youth minister once took a poll of his youth group and asked the kids in the group, what do you think is most important to your parents? And many of the kids responded, well, it's really important, my parents consider it really important that I get good grades. And others said, well, it's really important to my parents that I get into a good college and then into a good career. And some said it was important for their parents to see them perform well in sports or music or other activities like that. And those are all important things. But the youth minister conveyed that there were only about two or three kids in the group who said, the most important thing to my parents is their relationship with God. And this is a Christian youth group that this minister was talking to. You see, fathers, it's important for you to let God be your number one priority. And not just say that God is your number one priority. Kids see through that. People don't listen to what we say as much as they watch what we do, and our kids are no exception to that. The choices you make with your time and money, the way you treat other people, the way, if you're married, you treat your spouse and the mother of your children. All these things are ways that we convey that God's our number one priority. Not just saying it, but living it. That's probably why, or at least this connects to it, when Jesus continues saying in this prayer, we need to pray, God, your kingdom come and your will be done. Because if that God is our top priority, then we would demonstrate that by following his will, wouldn't we? And not our own will. That we would enter into the kingdom of God, which is God's rule and God's activity in this world right now. And if God's our top priority, we want to be part of that and in step with what God's doing in the world right now, ruling in our hearts and in the hearts of other people in this world. You see, God is hallowed in our lives when we place God as our top priority and do the will of God. I had a friend who was one time ripped off by a former employer. To make matters worse, the former employer was a Christian and my friend was too. Some people advised him, well, just go sue the pants off the guy. But he didn't think that was the way that Scripture would lead him to treat another brother in Christ. So instead, he wrote a letter to the former employer who had ripped him off, explained the effect that had on his family, how it impacted them so adversely, and then he graciously asked for the employer to step up and to treat him fairly. Doing that demonstrated the priority that the man placed on his relationship with God and submitting to the will of God, rather than suing, reaching out this way. Well, it's a good story. It ended well. A check arrived in the mail after some time, and he said, you know, it didn't really matter. Well, it did matter. It helped to have the money, but the important thing was, in his estimation, he was faithful to act and demonstrate the rule of God in his life. If God's our top priority, that's what we need to do. Demonstrate it in the way that we surrender to God and to God's will. So that's the first thing. To be effective, let's make God our top priority. The second thing is that we're taught that God, our Heavenly Father, provides for us. So those fathers who are on earth, to follow and to be effective, obviously, to provide for our families, to provide for our kids. The prayer Jesus says is, give us this day our daily bread. We look to our Heavenly Father to provide for us. He does it usually through us, through the employment that we undertake and the careers we step into. And Jesus also warned a little earlier in this passage, but don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or what you'll wear. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't gather food into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. You're worth so much more than they are. We are called as earthly fathers, just like our Heavenly Father, to be involved in providing for our families. Now, to turn this around a little bit, it's Father's Day, and maybe sometime today, if you are with your father or communicate with your father, you may want to just thank him for that provision throughout the years. Thanks for providing, for working diligently, taking care of us in that way. Now, with that call to recognize we are to provide for our families, there's a warning too. Not to allow that call to get us so enmeshed in our jobs that we neglect our families. And men, aren't we prone to do that? Because the messages we receive are we need to do more, we need to accomplish better things and have better things, and all these messages. And sometimes we want to be so faithful to provide that the desire to do so gets us out of balance with our responsibility for our families. We can get so caught up in providing and seeking those things, or perhaps getting carried away with we need more, we need better, that we fail to take care of the responsibilities of those around us. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a guy, and maybe one of you, I don't know, I can't remember who this was, and it was only 2 weeks ago. But if it's you, raise your hand and say, that was me. He was talking about the fact he was offered a promotion in his job. And it was a promotion he had dreamed about and longed for. But the problem was that it meant relocating the family, moving out of state. And it also meant he'd have to travel more. And so he was grappling with this tough decision. And it is a tough decision because the promotion obviously meant good things on the one hand. But on the other hand, it meant taking away from family and the other responsibilities that he has. Well, he's grappling with that, and it was becoming a little more and more clear to the man that it wasn't the right thing because the trade-off was at the expense of his family. A father's priority is to provide, is to provide for family, but a father's priority needs to be God and God's will. Well, there's a third thing that we see in this prayer that Jesus teaches the disciples, and that is that a father pardons his children. Jesus says, pray this way, forgive us our debts as we forgive others, their debts, or the debt, our debtors. You see, God is that loving, grace-filled, merciful being. And when we trust in Jesus Christ, we experience that forgiveness. And it's a powerful and profound experience to recognize that at a cost, God takes our sin and takes all that darkness from our lives and just lifts it out, forgives and pardons and says to us, there you are, 100% acquitted. It's taken care of. It's a powerful thing to realize. Fathers, parents also need to be those who are willing to pardon, to put it in the terms of the prayer, the debts of our children. Sometimes they're literal debts too, aren't they? But the sins of our children. I don't know if this helps, and maybe not, but Connie and I, when our three girls were young, and they were like stair-step, about 2 years apart, so we started young with this. We'd play a game with them. It didn't have a name, but if it did, it would be called If You, Would We? And the game goes like this. When they were young, we would say, if you spilled your milk, do you think we would stop loving you? And of course, they would kind of giggle and say, oh, no. And that's the right answer. No, we would never stop loving them. If they spilled their milk or broke something in the house or whatever. Now, as they got older, the questions changed a little bit. If you got in trouble some way, do you think we would stop loving you? And still the answer is no, we would never stop loving you. There's nothing that would ever cause us to stop loving you. There's nothing that would ever stop us from forgiving you. And then we'd go on to say, we might be upset, and there might be consequences for that, but we would never stop loving you. We would never not forgive you. That's what God says to us. And if we want to be effective as parents, as fathers, we need to be willing to forgive, to pardon. Forgiving also means to not stop loving. But we have to be honest. Kids are not exempt from doing things that will cause us to be upset and almost wanting to stop loving them. They might goof off in school. They might get grades that are too low to get into the college that you wanted them to. It might be an unexpected pregnancy. They might give up on sports or something they excel in. Kids might find themselves on the wrong end of the law. And in each case, we need to be willing to forgive and not stop loving them. Not withhold the love to an offending child. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A friend of mine told me once about having one of those experiences that were difficult as a father. He was home alone with his two kids. They were cranky. They were hungry. He was trying to make dinner, and the five-year-old son, Timothy, was acting up, and he was teasing the little sister until she was in tears and ran screaming. He lost it. Now, I know none of you have ever done that with your kids, but he did. He hollered at Timothy, and now he had two kids crying and running around the house. He grabbed them both and threw them in the bedroom and slammed the door shut, and he announced he was so angry he needed a timeout. And then he said, you know, after a few minutes, I calmed down a little bit, and then things really changed. I could hear the ruffling of a little piece of paper being slipped under the bedroom door. And written on it was a note from Timothy. He's only 5 years old. The note was kind of scrawly, but it said, from Timothy to Dad, I still love you, even when you're angry. We need to be like that father and say, you know, realize, does God still love me when I'm angry? When I'm upset? When I'm acting selfish? When I'm acting bitter or whatever the circumstance, does God still love me? And of course, the answer is yes. Yes. And it points to the fact we need to be forgiven ourselves many times. And our Heavenly Father is there to forgive our sins, our debts. And our Heavenly Father never stops loving us. Father's priority is God. A father is a provider for the family. A father forgives his family. The fourth thing we can learn from this prayer is Jesus taught that our Heavenly Father protects his children, and our fathers on earth should do the same. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When we pray that, we're essentially saying, God, I need help. I know myself. I know I can be tempted, and those temptations can become overwhelming. We're all like that. We're weak in that sense. We need to be protected from those forces and those factors that could really overwhelm us and overtake us if it weren't for God's protection. And fathers, children need to be protected. Yes, physically. Yes, emotionally. And also spiritually. Children need to be protected. An example of this is that, sometimes our kids don't realize they need to be protected. You know? Oh, Mom, quit telling me that I have to be careful, or, you know, whatever it is, or Dad. Sometimes your daughter may not see the problem of dating a guy who's 5 years older. But you see it. Your 10-year-old son might not see the danger, as our grandsons don't see playing contact football under the guidance of a coach who thinks it's the NFL. But we see the danger. Teenager might not see the danger of listening to music that's really degrading and violent. But dads, you do. And those are the kinds of things, and there are other kinds of things that you need to be willing to protect children from. And you might be made unpopular if you do. In our case, years ago, I think this is safe to share, we saw the danger of allowing our daughter to stay at the hotel after prom all night with kids who were drinking. And it wasn't popular to go drive to the hotel, and it wasn't close, at 2 a.m, and literally drag her out of the room. But... Well, not drag, invite her out of the room. Yeah, forcefully invite. But we're not called to be our children's best friends, fathers. It's mothers too. We're called to be our children's protectors. We're the parents, not the buddies. As important as it is to have best buddies. But that's not the role of a father who protects his children. Well, to sum this up, let me just say this. Jesus gives us a prayer that displays the character and nature of our Heavenly Father. Our earthly fathers may or may not have been like that. We have an opportunity as fathers, grandfathers, those who influence our children still, to follow that example of our Heavenly Father, so that our fathers who are on earth can be effective, can be helpful, can build up our children of all ages. We can provide, we can protect, we can pardon, and we can bless those children that have been entrusted to us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.